Welcome to day 180 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are going to cover 1 Kings chapters 22 and 2 Chronicles chapter 18. We are reading from the Amplified Bible this week, and we will be hearing about one of the good kings of Israel, King Jehoshaphat, as well as continuing to hear of one of the bad kings of Israel, King Ahab. So beginning at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Syria and Israel continued without war for 3 years. In the 3rd year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we keep silence and do not take it from the king of Syria?" And Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead to battle?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." But Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first, I pray you, for the word of the Lord today." Then Ahab, king of Israel, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I hold back?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not another prophet of the Lord here whom we may ask?" Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good for me but evil." Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say that." Then Ahab, king of Israel, told an officer, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting in royal robes or armor, each on his throne in an open place on a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets agreed, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." The messenger who went to call Micaiah said to him, "Behold now, the prophets unanimously declare good to the king. Let your answer, I pray you, be like theirs and say what is good." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, I will speak what the Lord says to me." So he came to the king. King Ahab said, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we hold back?" And he answered, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." And the king said to him, "How many times must I charge you to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' One said this way, another said that way. Then there came forth a spirit of whom I am about to tell, and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' The Lord said to him, 'By what means?' And he said, 'I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets.' The Lord said, 'You shall entice him and succeed also. Go forth and do it.'" So the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. But Zedekiah son of Chenaanah went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak to you?" Micaiah said, "Behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself." Ahab, king of Israel, said, "Take Micaiah, carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'The king says, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and water of affliction until I come in peace.'" Micaiah said, "If you return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me." He added, "Hear, O people, every one of you." So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and enter the battle, but you put on your royal clothing." And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, "Fight neither with small nor great, but only with Ahab, king of Israel." And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel." They turned to fight against him, but Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote Ahab, the king of Israel, between the joints of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and carry me out of the army, for I am wounded." The battle increased that day, and Ahab, the king, was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians. And at nightfall, he died. And the blood of his wound flowed onto the floor of his chariot. And there went a cry throughout the army about sundown, saying, "Every man to his city and to his own country, for the king is dead." And Ahab was brought to Samaria, where they buried him. And they washed his chariot by the pool of Samaria, where the harlots bathed, and the dogs licked up his blood, as the Lord had predicted. The rest of Ahab's acts, all he did, the ivory palace and all the cities he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers. Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. He walked in all the ways or customs of Asa his father, never swerving from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. However, the idolatrous high places were not taken away, for the people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with Israel's king. The rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, the male cult prostitutes, who remained in the days of his father Asa, Jehoshaphat expelled from the country. There was no king in Edom. A deputy was acting king. Jehoshaphat ordered ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go, for the ships were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. When Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships," Jehoshaphat refused. Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David, his father, forefather, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, began his two-year reign over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father Ahab and of his mother Jezebel and of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. He served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger in all the ways his father had done. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, but was allied by marriage with Ahab. After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people with him, and persuaded him to go up with him against Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" He answered, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first, I pray you, for the word of the Lord today." So King Ahab of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not another prophet of the Lord here by whom we may inquire?" King Ahab of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is another man, Micaiah son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never has prophesied good for me, but always evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." And King Ahab of Israel called for one of his officers and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah son of Imlah." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat king of Judah sat each on his throne, arrayed in their robes. They were sitting in an open place at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, son of Chenanah, had made himself horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." All the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. The Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." The messenger who went to call Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophets foretell good to the king with one accord. So let your word be like one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what my God says, that will I speak." And when he had come to the king, King Ahab said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And he said, "Go up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand." And the king said to him, "How many times shall I warn you to tell nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah said, "I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.'" And King Ahab of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good to me, but evil?" Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing at his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, 'Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one said this thing, and another that. Then there came a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' The Lord said to him, 'By what means?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets.' And the Lord said, 'You shall entice him and also succeed. Go forth and do so.' Now, you see, the Lord put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning you." Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, "Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, you shall see on that day when you shall go into an inner chamber to hide yourself." Then King Ahab of Israel said, "Take Micaiah back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and water of affliction until I return in peace.'" Micaiah said, "If you return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me." And he added, "Hear it, you people, all of you." So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but you put on your royal robes." So King Ahab of Israel disguised himself, and they went into the battle. Now Syria's king had commanded his chariot captains, "Fight not with small or great, but only with the king of Israel." And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat of Judah, they said, "It is the king of Israel." So they turned to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. A certain man drew his bow at a venture and smote King Ahab of Israel between the lower armor and the breastplate. So Ahab said to his chariot driver, "Turn, carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded." And the battle increased that day. However, King Ahab of Israel propped himself up in his chariot opposite the Syrians until evening, and about sunset, he died. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to talk to you about wrong alliances. And this is something that is illustrated to us in the life of King Jehoshaphat. Now, King Jehoshaphat was known as one of the godliest kings that Judah or Israel ever had, yet his mistakes in his reign as king of Judah were clearly all tied to his making wrong alliances that were displeasing to the Lord and very costly to him personally. Today we heard in 2 Chronicles 18, in the very first verse, these words, "Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, but was allied by marriage with Ahab." So it starts out telling us that God had honored Jehoshaphat with riches and honor, and he really did love the Lord. And we will see as we read more chapters in the next few days that Jehoshaphat was recognized as a godly king by the prophet Elisha, which was the successor to Elijah. Yet he made some critical errors that really were costly to him and displeasing to the Lord. It says in this first verse that he was allied by marriage with Ahab. What he did was he gave his son in marriage to Ahab's daughter, the daughter of Jezebel. A big mistake for certain. And this is a period of time in Israel's history when previously Israel and Judah were enemies. They even would fight at certain times, but they pretty much were not at all in unity. As you know, the kingdom had been split, but they weren't even on friendly terms until the time of Jehoshaphat, when he made peace with Ahab and they were united as brethren, though both ruling separate parts of the tribes of Israel. So I want to focus on this subject of wrong alliances, which King Jehoshaphat's life demonstrates to us very well, and the trouble that goes with it. First of all, let me quote to you from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:14, which is a word about or against having wrong alliances. People who are not spiritually on the same page with you, people who are not believers. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Don't be unequally yoked together or bound with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Well, that was the case with King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. They were a partnership of light and darkness. Jehoshaphat was the godly king, and King Ahab was the wicked king. He started out by making an alliance through marriage, King Jehoshaphat allowing his son to marry King Ahab's daughter. This is absolutely a horrible move on the part of King Jehoshaphat, who was a worshiper of the one true God, allowing his son to marry into the family of idolaters. His daughter-in-law, King Jehoshaphat's daughter-in-law, was Jezebel's daughter, and that spirit of Jezebel was going to wreak some havoc in that marriage and then for generations to come. It had a multi-generational impact by making this alliance through marriage with the ungodly family of King Ahab. The second ungodly or wrong alliance that King Jehoshaphat made was the one that we heard about in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, when he made a military alliance. And you heard how King Ahab asked Jehoshaphat if he would go up with him to Syria and fight to recover the city of Ramoth-Gilead, which had been seized by the Syrians and occupied by the Syrians, but it belonged to Israel. And so Ahab said, "Will you go up with me?" And Jehoshaphat, who was a very easygoing, obviously, in his temperament and liked to please everybody, said, "I am as you are. My people are like your people. My soldiers are your soldiers. Let's go." And so they went together, and it almost cost King Jehoshaphat his life because of making this wrong military alliance with the wicked King Ahab. And only because of the mercy of God, King Jehoshaphat did not die in that battle. But what's really distressing to me is that King Jehoshaphat, when King Ahab asked him if he would go with him into this battle, he made the stipulation that Ahab call for some prophets so that they could just check with the Lord about this, whether it was a good idea. So Jehoshaphat had a reverence for the Lord. He wanted to ask if the Lord, if they should do this or not, which was the exact practice of King David, King Jehoshaphat's forefather, great-great-great-great-grandfather, and that was David's practice. And because David made that his practice, "Shall I go up?" he would ask the Lord if there was a battle, and he would always obey the Lord in those things. And because of that, David never lost a battle. King Jehoshaphat made that same suggestion to King Ahab. "Let's inquire of the Lord. Don't you have any prophets around?" So Ahab brings these false prophets, not true prophets of the Lord Jehovah, 400 of them, who all just tell him what he wants to hear. "Oh, go up and prosper. You're going to win the battle." They're just totally deceiving liars because they're not true servants of God. And then Jehoshaphat figures out that these guys aren't really genuine prophets, and he asks him, "Please, isn't there another prophet of the Lord here that we may ask?" And the king relents that, "Yeah, there's this one guy named Micaiah, but I don't like him because he never prophesies anything good to me." Well, that's because he was a genuine prophet of the Lord, telling the king what God really said, not what he wanted to hear. So when they sent for Micaiah, son of Imlah, and he does prophesy and tells him, "I saw Israel like sheep without a shepherd, and all the people going back to their tents because they have no master, well, that was a clear word that this going up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle against Assyrians was going to end in national disaster and the death of King Ahab. And yet, King Ahab did not listen to that. And shocking to me is that Jehoshaphat did not allow this word from the Lord to prevail in his own heart. And instead, he just acquiesces to Ahab's determined purpose to go up to Ramoth-Gilead and fight. And Jehoshaphat just goes along with it, even though he just heard a genuine word from the Lord, which is what he had requested. And that's a mystery to me right there. He was obviously more influenced by Ahab's burning desire to go up and battle the Syrians than he was about this genuine word of the Lord that came. And because Ahab was so determined to go up there, yet in one way he was a little bit afraid that maybe that prophet was really telling the truth. And we know this because the king of Israel, Ahab, decides that he's going to disguise himself and not have his royal robes on, and that way he could make sure in his own mind that he wouldn't get caught in the battle if they're going after only the king, which is exactly what happened. The Syrian king, Ben-Hadad, who had been released mercifully by Ahab previously, ends up telling his main captains, don't even fight with anybody, just find the king of Israel and kill him. So he was returning evil for good. What Ahab gave him mercy, Ben-Hadad replied or responded with a murderous intent to kill him. But all of it really was in the plans of God, because it had been prophesied that Ahab would die and his blood would be licked up by the dogs, and all of that because of the wicked that he had done in Israel and how he had led the people into idolatry. But the mystery really is why Jehoshaphat allowed himself to be influenced by this man and goes to the battle. And so there he is with his royal robes on, and here come the Syrian captains heading straight for him because he's got to be the king of Israel. They figure in their mind when they see his outfit, his royal robes. But God had mercy, the scripture tells us. God had mercy on him and protected him and caused those men to stop pursuing him, which was only truly the hand of the Lord, because Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord. So you see the great, amazing mercy of God operating there for Jehoshaphat's sake, even though he didn't deserve it and he had made a wrong alliance with the king of Israel, King Ahab. So that was the second ungodly alliance. First was the alliance through marriage. The second ungodly alliance was this ungodly military alliance, agreeing to take the soldiers, the army from Judah, to join with the army from Israel and try to help Ahab, which was a big mistake. And then the third ungodly alliance that we see Jehoshaphat make was an ungodly business alliance. And this needs to speak to us today. Be very careful. You don't get into a business alliance, a partnership with someone who is not a believer. That scripture from 2 Corinthians 6 is very clear. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be bound with them. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Well, that's what Jehoshaphat did again. This time, his ungodly business alliance was with the son of King Ahab. King Ahab's son wanted to go into business, the business of taking ships to a place called Ophir, where there was much gold, and to do some business that way. And Jehoshaphat wanted to reopen the sea commerce that King Solomon had made so successful in his day. And so he had these ships built, and they were going to go to Ophir to pick up gold to do business there. But instead, and this was to me a sign of God's displeasure with Jehoshaphat making an ungodly alliance, that ended up in disaster also because a storm came up before they even left the harbor and the ships were destroyed. So God does not smile on ungodly alliances. In fact, he forbids it for the believer. And Jehoshaphat made these three errors: a wrong alliance with an ungodly person in marriage, an ungodly military alliance, and then an ungodly business alliance. And none of these things were a blessing. In fact, they ended in disaster and had a multi-generational impact. Specifically, when Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram married Ahab's daughter Athaliah, whose mother was Jezebel, that affected that entire kingdom lineage, because instead of following his godly father's attributes, when Jehoshaphat died and Jehoram became king, instead of following Jehoshaphat's example of worshiping the Lord and being faithful to God, instead, he aligned himself with the spirit of his wife, who is the daughter of Jezebel, Athaliah, and the spirit of his mother-in-law, Jezebel, and ended up killing all of his younger brothers, all of Jehoshaphat's sons who were younger than him, just to make sure that none of them challenged him for the throne. And then, when Jehoram died, his wife, Athaliah, wanted to be in charge, so she had all of the royal offspring, her own children, murdered. And she reigned in the throne for 7 years. And we'll be hearing those stories in the next week or two. But this is an example that it is very vital for us as Christians to be so very careful about what kind of partnerships we make in marriage, in business, in whatever. And that they not be made with people who do not follow the Lord and are not serious followers of God, serious Christians. Because it will result in difficulty, trouble that will follow you. But wrong alliances will always appear to make sense or to be the smart thing to do. But I guarantee you, it is a spiritual trap to destroy you. Hold on to the biblical standard and seek God always before you make any alliances, so that you don't make the same mistakes that we've seen here in King Jehoshaphat's life. God bless you and give you a victorious week.